soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Greetings from Guardian Mountain. This morning, I read a little bit before my meditation in this wonderful little book called The Infinite Way by Joel Goldsmith. And in it, he states that any discords that we may have are not to be hated, feared, or resented, but they are to be reinterpreted until the true nature of reality is discerned through spiritual sense. The disease or discord is merely a state of mind with no corresponding external reality. It must be understood that no illusion is or ever can be externalized. And so I took that into my morning meditation, and something very strange and different came to me. Just this one part: no illusion is or ever can be externalized. No illusion. Now, he explains further in that chapter that we live and move and have our being in God, and God in us, and that God is the only presence. Therefore, putting the two of those together, I am coming to see that no illusion can ever be externalized. And illusion is nothing more than personal sense, a misinterpretation of the reality of being as filtered through the senses. Now, if no personal sense can ever be externalized, then it follows that no person can ever be externalized. And so the next step is there are no human beings externalized. Now, this is really the vanishing point. This is the point where we look at ourselves and realize no self, no personal self can ever be externalized. It's not out there. Only God is there. And so this is the point where we vanish as a person and awaken to our true identity. One of the pitfalls, one of the traps in spiritual healing work is that we come to accept the belief that there is a personal life out here that needs repair. There's a disease that needs healing. There's lack and limitation that needs correction. There's loneliness and being alone that needs companionship to fix that picture. And so we focus our attention on a personal life, don't we? And we try to patch up a personal life. And that personal life, according to what we just read, is not there. It's a dream, a misinterpretation by mortal mind, by the sense mind, of the reality that is there. And so it's a dream. Personal self is a dream. And a personal life is a dream. And we try to patch up the dream and make it a happy dream. And sometimes we succeed, but when we're honest, even when it becomes a happy dream, something's missing. Something is still missing. And in a short period of time, we've gotten ourselves involved in discord again. And so we swing between the pairs of opposites. We have discord and we attempt to patch it up and we get it going pretty good, and then over here something happens to our finances, and so we have to make a demonstration here of spiritual principles, and we get that going pretty good. We have some new employment now. Uh-oh, here goes the relationship. And so now we swing over here and start practicing principles to repair the relationship we have with our partner, with our spouse. And guess what? Isn't this just sort of like spinning plates on top of sticks? And one starts to wobble and we run over there and spin that. And now another one starts to wobble. Uh-oh, two more are wobbling. And we can't quite get them all spinning at the same time, because we're working on a dream, and we're working on a dream self. No illusion is ever externalized, including the illusion that you have a personal life. But we are told to cease from man whose breath is in his nostril. Now, you can't get any plainer than that. We are being told to cease from a personal life and from trying to make it better. We don't want a better personal life, because if we succeed in making a better personal life, we still haven't changed the end result, which is the date on a headstone, because all personal life comes to an end. We know that. So here is the point that separates the grown-ups from the children, spiritually speaking. You remember Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. And he said he needed to lay aside childish things. This is that point. If you are really willing, and if I am really willing, to go the whole distance, then I must be willing to stop trying to patch up a personal life. I must be willing to dissolve it. Christ told us that the kingdom of God is not of this world, meaning the kingdom of God is not of a personal life. You see, all illusion is really one illusion, isn't it? It's the illusion of a personal life. And if we dissolve a personal sense of life completely, we dissolve the illusion and wake up to the reality in which we live and move and have our being. Now, Christ told us we would have to die to self, didn't he? He told us that we would have to be reborn. He also told us, if you follow the example, that the Father within doeth the works. You remember him saying that? And so it's obvious from that statement that there's a Father and there's Jesus. But later, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. He that seeth me seeth he that sent me. He that came down from heaven is he that ascends. And so, and finally, I have overcome the world. Meaning, I have overcome a personal sense of life. See, he wasn't trying to patch up or improve on his life. And he was no longer in a sense of separation from the Father, but rather he had become the Father, consciously aware of his own divinity. And this is a difficult step. For years we have been practicing principles to improve our life, or improve our lives, and maybe looking for a healing of a personal life. We ask God to help us with an illusion. Dear God, send me supplies so I can pay the rent next month. Send me a companion. I'm so lonely. I need a partner. Send me someone that understands me. Please heal this disease. If you heal this disease, I will do work for you. Yet we are told that God is too pure to behold iniquity. And so it must be kind of silly, or sad, because here we are asking God to heal our illusion. And no illusion is ever externalized. No personal life is ever externalized. There is no personal life out there. And so if we're living a personal life, if we're still functioning as a person, then we haven't yet woke up. Let's look at Adam. Do you remember Adam fell asleep? And he had a dream. And in the dream, he was given a companion. And do you know, if you look carefully, it never says that Adam woke up, because he never did. Adam is still sleeping. All the way up to where we see Christ saying to Adam, "Awake, thou that sleepest. Awake." And here we are. Are we now finally, in this 21st century, are we now ready to hear his voice? Are we ready to awaken from this deep sleep where we're dreaming of a personal life that needs patching up? My kingdom, my life, is not of this world. this personal life. You see, we need to come into the conscious awareness of another life, don't we? Now, Paul told us, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. And the natural man is that personal sense of life, which is the illusion, which is never externalized. In Joel's book called Beyond Words and Thoughts, in the chapter Truth Unveiled, he goes into this a little more. He says, in the healing work, as understood in the infinite way, we are unseeing and unknowing the corporeal or personal sense of man. Well or sick, rich or poor, good or bad, we are not unseeing or unknowing a corporeal man or a personal man, for there is none. But we are unknowing or unseeing the corporeal or physical sense of man. The corporeal sense is the temptation. The healing truth is our consciousness of incorporeal man and incorporeal universe. So, healings do not come by patching up a dream. Healings come by dissolving the illusion of personal life. And this is something that we must practice. Eventually, we will reach the place where we don't have to practice, because consciousness expands to the place where it begins to live itself. Because Christ consciousness is the only life on earth. But we must get the ball rolling. And so we must practice dissolving our own personal sense of life. And that will automatically dissolve our sense that there's a personal sense of life on earth, anywhere. And there are specific things to know. First, we need to know that, knowing this intellectually, that this is the goal. The goal is to dissolve ourselves. Do you remember the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland? And the last thing to go was the smile. Well, this is what we're doing. We are consciously dissolving our own personal sense of self, our own personal life, because none of that is externalized. It is not a real life. We are living a dream, and it is far past time to awaken. And so we are dissolving ourselves, and perhaps the last thing to go is the smile of the ego. And so we need to know, intellectually, we need to know that this is the goal towards which we are working. But after that, something else is required. Because, you know, if a lizard swallows its own tail, it really can't swallow itself, can it? The intellect cannot dissolve the intellect. That's just not going to happen. We can know this. Intellectually, we can know that there is no personal life. that only Christ is, that only God is, that Spirit is the only presence in, on, and as Earth. We can know this intellectually, and yet we can be suffering from cancer. We can know this intellectually, and we can be alone and afraid. We can know this intellectually, and we can be penniless on welfare or bumming spare change on the street. So something else is required. Something is required to dissolve personal sense. And what would that be? Only Christ can reveal Christ. Only God can reveal itself. And so, we must open the door to that I of our being. Only the I am within can dissolve the personal sense within. And so you see, if we want healing, this is really important, and I would like to get that across. If we want healing, whether it's finances or companionship or health or relationships, if we want healing, we have to go and do likewise what Joel did, what Herb did, what Virginia does, what Alan does. And Joel told us that we cannot bring a personal sense of self into our meditations. And so if we want healing, we have got to leave the personal sense of life, the personal sense of self, outside the door. Because we do not want a happy dream. We do not want to patch up a personal sense of self that dies. We want to awaken now from that dream to experience the total healing of recognizing and receiving our Christ identity, our spiritual identity, which was never born and cannot die and cannot age and cannot be sick and has all that the Father has and is one presence. And so let's go the full route and let's dissolve our personal life. Now, when we go into our meditation, we are to leave that personal sense of self outside the door. And Joel recommends that we start with one word, and that word is God. God is the only presence right here. God is the only presence out there. In fact, right here and out there are one, because God is one. One presence. God is omnipresence. There cannot be God and another life. There is only God life. God is omnipotence, all power, maintaining and sustaining its infinite, impersonal, divine, eternal life. God is omniscient, all-knowing. There is nothing any person needs to tell God. No, we only need to rest here, to be still, and know that I am God. Be still and know I am God. There is no other I here. And so the I that you are, am God. I am God. Now, this personal sense of life, this personal sense of self that I have been looking at, is not out there. It is a misinterpretation by the senses, by the sense mind, of my divinity. We have established the fact that I am God itself, and God is the I that I am. And so this personal sense of self is an impersonal thought. We've established that. There is no personal life and there is no personal mind. So this must be an impersonal sense of a personal life. And this impersonal thought, this impersonal sense, is universal. It belongs to no one because there's no personal self that it can belong to. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. And so God, what God did not make was not made. And God never made this personal sense of self. And so it's an impersonal nothingness. And now I let it go. I'm not going to fix it, improve it, or patch it up. I am going to let it go. Now, in this moment of rest, God reveals itself. In this stillness, in this silence, God speaks. Let us be still and listen and be receptive to the infinite self that I am. Speak, thy servant heareth. Speak thy presence. Only Christ can reveal Christ. And when Christ is revealed, personal sense is dissolved. Only Christ can dissolve this personal sense. So speak. Shine thy light. Reveal thyself. Fulfill thyself. I am still. I am listening. God is. And we wait until that spirit is upon us. And how do we know? Because there's a feeling. Thoughts have slowed down now, have become still, become quiet. And there's a feeling. There's an inner quickening. It may be a deep breath or the quick, short breaths. But there's a release. Something clicks. Something is dissolved. It may be a sense of warmth, a feeling of a presence, but there's a release, and I am free to be myself, my real self. And now we know that God is on the field. And so we open our eyes and we do what is put in front of us to do. And we know throughout the day that God is living itself. Here's what Joel says as we go about our day. Every incident of our daily experience offers fresh opportunities to use our spiritual understanding, and each use of the spiritual faculties results in greater spiritual perception, which in turn reveals more and more of the light of truth. We are to pray without ceasing, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he instructs us to translate the pictures and incidents of daily existence into spirit, and consciousness will expand until translation occurs without taking thought. It becomes a habitual state of consciousness, or a constant awareness of the truth of being. And so you see, in our meditation, Christ dissolves personal sense of self, which, remember, is not externalized. And so there's nothing out there to fix. But within our being, Christ dissolves that personal sense of self, and more of Christ's life appears. Now that Christ life, that God life, that spirit life, has always been our life, but we have been seeing it through a glass darkly. So in our meditations, spiritual discernment reveals the truth of being. Now we've gone a step past an intellectual understanding, and we have spiritual discernment, but we have to take it with us throughout the day. And so when I see an injustice, or a sick person, or a destitute individual, or a mean individual, I have to translate that picture. In the beginning, this takes effort. And no one will do this for us. This is the part of work that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This is where I have to practice consciously knowing that these pictures of sense are not out there, because no illusion, no personal self is ever externalized. How about that? We thought we were seeing 2 to 4 billion people, and we weren't. No personal self is ever externalized. We were misinterpreting, misunderstanding the one being called God. Your being, my being, one being, God. And so as we go through our day, we have to reinterpret what we think or what we thought we were seeing. And we have to translate it back into the invisible. And so we look at it. We may say to ourselves, this that is appearing to me is not out there. This is a dream. It's not my dream. It's a world dream. It was not made by God, and so it was not made. So I release it now. God revealed what is really there. Another time, I may simply pause and say, okay, this is that I'm seeing is the sense perception of God. Now I dropped that. Father, what do you see? Show me the vision which you have, which is too pure to behold iniquity. And so we practice this throughout our day. When circumstances allow it, we get by ourselves and we have a meditation. Again, we contact that presence within us, and that presence, God, dissolves the personal sense of life. And in this way, we are developing and expanding our consciousness. And here's what happens. One day we are... Well, I'll give you an example. One evening I went to a meeting at a church, and there was a man sitting at the table and really boisterous and loud and somewhat obnoxious. And although I started to have a judgmental thought, immediately something else took over and said, "With what judgment ye judge, ye are judged." And I said, "That's right," and stopped and got still and looked at him. And immediately this man calmed down without anybody talking to him. And so there was an instantaneous healing of the situation. But remember now, the situation is not out there. What was healed, really? You know, what was healed was my misinterpretation. And it really wasn't mine. It was the world thought, mortal thought, if you like. The healing took place within. It was a healing of the misinterpretation, and God revealed what was really there, which was God's presence, already perfect. Do we begin to see that the work that we need to do is within ourself? We are told we must put off mortality and put on immortality. And that's what we're doing. This is exactly what this is. Putting off mortality, the personal sense of life, the personal sense of self, and putting on immortality, putting on the impersonal Christ consciousness, the everywhere present self that I am. So, this is the work that we are engaged in. Now, take this into your meditations over the next week or two. We are dissolving any personal life. Because there is no personal life ever externalized. And all healings are not patching up a dream of a personal sense of life. All healings are a correction of our vision, a reinterpretation of what we are seeing. All healings are stepping out of a personal sense of self and into the infinite Christ consciousness, and allowing that infinite Christ consciousness to live as us. And over again we can see how Paul was involved in this work. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. You see where he's dissolving his personal sense of self, and Christ is living him? Jesus said, "I am the way." You see what he was saying? He was saying that I, this infinite God consciousness, is the way. And so the way is to allow I to live itself. The way is to dissolve a personal sense of self. The way is to awaken out of that dream of a personal sense of self and into the reality of your being. One last bit from this chapter by Joel, and we'll wrap this up today. He says, Jesus' realization of this need to crucify or rise above the seeming personal sense of self enabled him to make the ascension. The ascension is always the same, arising above the mind, above knowing the truth, to truth itself. On the mount, in a high state of consciousness, Moses realized, I am, and thereby became I am. And so, when we are told I am is the way, we are being told that we need to crucify that personal sense of self. We need to dissolve it, rise above it, into that I am consciousness. And that I am consciousness can do what that I am consciousness has always done. That I am consciousness, as you, can heal the sick, can raise the dead, can feed 5,000, and greater works than these. Why? Because now we have the secret, don't we? This all takes place within your being. Within your very own consciousness is where you overcome the world. Who overcomes the world? I have overcome the world. And so it's time to trade in a personal sense of life, a personal sense of self, for that I am consciousness, that I am life, that eternal, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent self called God. Practice, and you will see that the I am of you takes over, and this thing begins to have a life of its own. It will dissolve your personal sense of self, and you will awaken from the dream of mortality. You, yourself, are an immortal. God is where you appear to be. Now rest. Rest back. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always because I am you. Blessings.